What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the See You Next Tuesday podcast. It's Tuesday, but it's also Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve, you guys. We hope you're spending beautiful time with your family, but if you're just bored, we're glad you're here.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're turning your PJs inside out right now. What else do you do before Christmas?
I don't know. Is there something you put on your pillow or something?
I think this is all like snow day things that I'm talking about.
Right, where you want it to snow.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, it's definitely not snowing here.
No, for sure not. But I'm happy about that a little bit. Because when it snows, it's just kind of like icky. It's like slush.
It's wonderful right when you open your eyes and you look out the window and you're like, wow, it's beautiful. And then 2 seconds later, someone gets in their car and you're like, ew, this is disgusting.
Right. Did you get all of like your Christmas shopping and stuff done?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah. So actually, my mom won't listen to this before she gets her Christmas present, so it doesn't even matter if I say it on here. Mm-hmm. Well, me and my brothers, like, okay, we don't make this a goal, but we always kind of just end up making our parents cry.
Thank God.
Every
make it a goal.
It's like become a thing now. This will be the third year that they will probably cry.
Yeah.
And what was it, like 2 years ago, I made a video. My mom, like, we were talking about this a while ago, where my mom took all the home videotapes and she transferred them onto the Dropbox. So I took all of the home videotapes and I made a video and I had my brother say something on it. And then I said something on it. And then it went into like a whole compilation of our family, like kind of like growing up and stuff. And obviously everyone bawled. Aww. It was great. And then last year, I got my parents, we moved out of my childhood home. So I got my parents a hand-drawn photo of our house and the address at the bottom. They cried.
Okay, thoughtful gift giver.
I know. And then this year, my grandpa passed away last Christmas on Christmas Eve, or not on Christmas Eve, but he, not to get sad, but he had a stroke on Christmas Eve and then he ended up passing away a couple months later.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
But he had this shirt and it said, "Don't ever give up on it." And it's a duck. Or whatever,
Wait, I saw this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then the frog is like choking I don't know what this bird is, a bird. Yeah. And it's just like symbolizing like, don't ever give up even though you're like being eaten. It's kind of weird, but I redrew it because it's from like literally like decades ago and it's like so old. So I redesigned the shirt and we're going to give my parents the shirt for Christmas and my brother's getting them printed.
I'm going to like sob right now. Oh my God, that is so kind and sweet. I like was talking to Abby about giving gifts for my family and she was like, "What are you going to get your mom?" And I was like, "To be honest, like we're all material girls." So
I mean,
it's
so
pretty
am I.
Easy.
Yeah.
Like thoughtful gifts, it takes so much more, you know, energy and thought and time. Like, but they are so special and they just make you want to sob because it's like, "Oh my God, you took this much time. Like you drew that out. You put that on a t-shirt just because you know that that's a t-shirt." Like that's so kind.
Well, you know what? It was when my family went to Outer Banks this summer. I think my older brother, Chris, he had the shirt and I think he worked out or something and he put the shirt and he laid it on a chair in the kitchen and my dad walked upstairs and I think he saw it and he started crying.
Okay.
And like everyone that saw it, it was kind of like, oh, grandpa, because my grandpa wore that shirt all of the time. Like there are so many photos of him in it. And it was just like, if there's you picture my grandpa, you're like, that's the shirt that he's in. Mm-hmm. So we were just like, it was my brother's idea, honestly. He came up, he was like, "What if we like recreated the shirt and like gave it to mom and dad?" And I was like, "I'm so down," and literally just like drew on it. But I was like,
you guys need to start videoing it and then start putting like a compilation of that.
Yeah, literally.
Like giving the gift.
All of them crying every year.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I love it. It's so sweet though. I know. It's so special. I think Christmas is so special. Like genuinely, you would think like when you're a kid, the magic of Christmas is in Santa, but like the magic of Christmas is bringing family together and like it's just a different energy, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm very excited. I love being a mom on Christmas because it's just made Christmas so special.
It's so different for you.
It's so different, but it's so much more fun. Like I genuinely have enjoyed it so much and I like the older he gets the better. So he's like thrilled. He gets to meet Santa tomorrow and I'm like, oh
wait,
I'm so excited.
Mall Santa?
No, he's going to a school Santa.
Oh, well honestly that's better.
This is before Christmas that we're filming. So he's gonna see it at a school and then we'll have a few weeks off. But I'm super excited for that. And he's going to have the best Christmas ever. And he's like dying for Santa to come to his house. So I'm going to get his pop to come dress up as Santa.
Stop, wait,
and
my,
show up.
My whenever I'd go to like my dad's side of the family, his mom, my grandma, we would always, I don't know who it was in our family that did it, but she had like a skylight in her house and they would get on the roof and like wave a Santa hat over the skylight, and then they'd like walk on the roof and we'd all be like, Santa's here. And it was always Christmas Eve and we're like, oh my God. And then we'd, you know, we'd open up the front door and it would be like a note from Santa and it would be reindeer food.
Oh.
And there'd be like little reindeer. And I was like,
it's so
the way
sweet.
Parents and like adults like put all of their effort into Christmas is,
it's
to
hilarious.
Your point, something so special and sweet about Christmas.
Right. Well, it's honestly becoming like a challenge, I would say, because as
on
adults,
the shelf.
As adults on Christmas, like I want to make my kid be like, think that this is the most magical thing he has ever experienced in his life. Like it's literally a challenge. I see it as adults now. Like it's a challenge to be like, my kid believes that Santa is literally coming to, you know, like just the shock of it and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's honestly funny because I was talking to my sisters about the Elf on the Shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic.
The drama.
And she was like, dude, my kid goes to, or my daughter goes to school and they talk about where their elf is every day. And they compare how cool their elf is.
Oh, I would be so in it being like, well, no, now my elf has to be the best.
My elf. And so I've changed my mindset because if it's going to be a competition, I will win.
She said, I'm in this now. It's a game.
Now I'm going to go all, my elf is going to be doing some crazy jazz moves up in my house. Okay. But I think that's hilarious because I didn't know that like kids actually were so into it like this.
They're
but
so into it.
I know. I was thinking more of like me, and that's selfish. I don't do that.
Well, the thing is I will now send you TikToks of the elf and the shelves I get because they're hilarious.
They're
kind of funny. Some of them I'm like, wait, how are they doing that? Is the elf real?
Like genuinely, I'm like, I see the lore. I see
yeah.
it. Yeah. So I think we're going to have so much fun. And then we have New Year's coming up, which me and Shannon are working our very best to plan right now.
Mm-hmm.
My God, why is it so hard?
I have a very love-hate relationship with New Year's. Like I actually... It's probably my least favorite holiday, if I'm being honest, because I think it is the most stressful holiday. And I just like don't like putting so much pressure on something when it honestly there's nothing. There's no real.
I see what you mean, because I feel like New Year's has become something so different. Like now there's tickets and now you have to see like you have to go to the best ticketed spot. And if you don't go to the cool spot, like it's like becoming a weird like social
event.
And it's like. Where are just the sprinklers in our cul-de-sac? Like
sprinklers?
Sprinklers.
Sparklers?
Sparklers.
I said sprinklers. I was like, wait, what? Were you guys putting your bathing suits on?
You're like, yay!
Happy New Year!
Sparklers. And then like the little bottle fireworks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I feel like...
confetti?
No, the bottle shooters. The bottle... You know what I'm saying? The boom. They like sound like... They sound exactly like that. It's like, boom.
Wait, and then literally, the confetti comes out?
No, it's a
Or it's
fucking,
like an actual bottle.
It's like a, and then it goes like, you know, I feel like I don't know how else to explain it.
Give me another noise.
It's literally like, boom, and then, ew. That's like, if you know, you know.
I don't know if
Freak.
I know.
Let me see. Bottle, not me looking this up.
Bottle popper.
Bottle like firework. Firework. What is this called?
Wait,
what
is an actual called? Firework?
It's like a little bottle sparklers. I don't even, just honestly forget it.
Never mind.
Now I don't know if I'm making this up.
Shay actually just imagined this when she was a kid.
Right. It's just different now.
It's just different. It's the ticketed events, like you said. And then also just like, I feel like a lot of people always put pressure on New Year's because it's like, oh, it's a new year. Like, you know, we're done with 2024, new beginnings. And it just feels like so much pressure. And I'm just like, nothing changes at midnight. It's just,
I know.
It's another night we all go out and we drink.
Right.
We just get a little bit more dressed up
and
this time.
We do. And isn't that the truth? I mean, I will say my family is very big on like, what are your New Year's goals? And, you know, I love my mom because she was like, what do you want me to, like, what more do you want me to do? And I think that she was talking more like, what can I do for, like, to help you with, like, mm-hmm. you know, Roman stuff, my son. And I was like, honestly, mom, I would just like to spend more quality time with you. And so tonight she came over and she helped me decorate her downstairs tree. And it was just like maybe an hour, but it was just like,
oh, you give me goosebumps. That's so sweet.
It was really sweet because she was like, she was like, what more can I do? And I was like, no, I just honestly, I would like just my mom
to hang out
with me and spend time with me. Like, I miss that because it is so much with kids and, you know.
Yeah.
So I love that we do put like a little goal, and like my goal is right now, you all know, is therapy.
Therapy is Shay's new personality.
It's my personality. Mm-hmm. I've fallen in love with, like,
I love it,
bettering myself and like really like starting to like take a step back and like improve and think and not just like react. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm loving that. That's like my new thing. It's definitely intimidating to start therapy and it's scary. And I thought I would have to like go back to all of my hardest moments and have to just like blurp those out and like tell, and like, you know, it just seemed stressful, but it really was like super comforting and really helpful. Like, there's tools that I'm already getting to, you know, use. Implement. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited about that. And I'm also trying to get on my workout journey, which you were telling me about.
Yeah. I mean, I work out every day, so that's not anything new, but I was thinking about dabbling in new gyms, just kind of changing it up. I've been going to the same place for 3 years, literally, yeah. since I moved here, which is actually kind of insane to think about, but, you know, just a new scene kind of
scary.
Situation, and I'm terrified. As someone that goes to the gym every single day, it does not make it easier going to a different gym. Like, I am just as terrified as someone that would be going to the gym for the first time.
Yeah.
So, like, I already invited Jay to come with me and she can't come. So I'm not going tomorrow.
I can 100% come soon because yep. I want to go, and I literally need, like, my thing is I need either a workout buddy or an instructor for me to work out. Mm-hmm. But it's so, I just started a new gym too, like just new Pilates. And it's so scary. Like, why
it's
is
terrifying.
It so scary?
Because you know what it is? It's like going to school for the first time and you don't know where your like classroom. It's like that same feeling where you're just like, I don't really know the routine. Like, what does everyone do here? And I don't want to look like that idiot that's walking in being like, where's the locker room? Like, where like, do I put my stuff?
This girl works out every day. Yeah. She knows what she's doing.
Literally. And I'm just like, just never been here before. And
I know. It's also just like vulnerable. Like, mm-hmm. you like having to do squats at a gym in front of like random people. I would rather not. Okay, so I feel like we're going to continue on a topic that we talked about last week, because big news, guys. Big news. Grace O'Malley left Barstool. Well, I guess was fired from Barstool. Okay, here, I'm going to read you exactly what was said. Okay. So this is from Dave Portnoy about Barstool and Grace O'Malley and the friends. So he said, nobody could have figured this situation out when two best friends of 20 years get in a fight and we're in the effing middle, he said. I don't know what people want Barstool to do. It sucks. And it's probably for the best that O'Malley goes on her own way. And who knows with Brie? I don't know what that means, but goes on her own way. So I feel like there was drama. I don't know exactly what drama there was. I'm sure Dave Portnoy was bitching about Grace O'Malley and like talking crap about her, which like that's just the name of his game. And so for him to like do that and then her to go on Unwell.
That was crazy.
Jaw on the floor.
When I saw that posted today, I literally was like, I stared at it for a second. I went, no mm-hmm. effing way.
Yeah.
I said, what a move.
What a power move. Because
on both ends.
Yeah.
For Alex Cooper and Grace O'Malley. Like,
right.
Wow.
Right. So everybody, like, TikTok is like, it's like they gang up on people hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely, people choose a side. And if you're on the wrong side, they are going to hate you. So everybody is like, Alex Cooper, get Grace O'Malley. Like, screw Barstool. Screw Dave Portnoy. Dave.
We're just gonna Davey boy.
Dave. Screw Dave. Like, get her on Call Her Daddy. They were all asking her to get her just on Call Her Daddy. Mm-hmm. Her to come out and say she's having her own show mm-hmm. on the Unwell Network is actually crazy, and I'm so happy for them.
I know. Also, Alex Cooper is expanding that Unwell Network like crazy right now.
Hey, girl. Hey. What's up? What's up, sister?
My name's Shannon.
My name's Shay.
Yeah. We have a podcast.
So on Thursday, what's today? Today's Thursday.
On Thursday, today.
On December 19th, Cooper's media powerhouse shared on Instagram O'Malley's big news. And she said, welcome freaking home. And Alex was, it's kind of funny because Alex was pretty much just like, you don't have, like, stop tagging me. I know what to do. Like, that's what she said. And then she, like, put on her story, her calling Grace O'Malley. And yeah, I was like,
I did see that.
Ooh. I thought she was just going to be interviewed.
Same. I thought she was just going to be on Caller Daddy, not like.
I think she will, though. Just kind of the same formula as Hallie.
Yeah.
Hallie Batcher.
I don't know how to say her last name.
Me either.
But I will say I watched the BFFs podcast, the most recent one. Mm-hmm. And like, it was so interesting, like with the aftermath of, like, you know, what we talked about last week and Bree doing that whole rant about Grace. And it was awkward to watch. That's the only way I could describe watching it, because it was like, you could tell that Bree was like, look, I was upset and like all this stuff. And it's like I it's tough because it's like, I think that ultimately what it is the both of them just upset each other, and like that's really what it is, and they both have their own opinions, and
yeah,
it is what it is. But like, it was like, what Brie, like, it's just like, take a beat,
that's what breathe I'm saying.
don't speak. And she even said on the BFFs podcast, she goes, I go back and forth between being like, I want to take the high road and be the nice person, or just like being a dick.
Well, that's my thing, is it felt very much like she was just reacting to hurt feelings about this whole situation.
Exactly.
But the way she did it, like, I think it's just too icky for you to do a tell-all about your 20-year-old friendship. That, to me, feels like you just discounted all of that friendship into this year, mm-hmm. and this bad year that you guys have had and these differences that you guys had. And, like, for you to do a tell-all is just like, it felt like you were just angry and you were mad.
She was just reacting. And my thing is, like, she kept saying, like, everyone wanted us to talk about it. Like, what were we going to do? Not talk about it and all stuff. And I'm like, I get it. I wanted you to talk about it. But there's also a point where you have to respect your 20-year friendship and say, just address it and be like, hey, like, I know everyone wants me to talk about this. I will talk about it, but right now I just don't think it's the right time.
And you know what? That's something to say about this generation, because here is my truth and my tea. I just feel like you don't have to share everything with the internet. I don't care who wants to know your drama with your friends. I don't care who wants to know what happened with you and your ex-boyfriend. I don't care who wants to know. Nobody is entitled to knowing what is going on. And honestly, it says more about you to just leave it how it is and let them speculate. Like, yeah, you don't have to do a tell all. That's so weird.
Yeah, like, it was just strange. Like, the Zach Bryan thing, it's crazy how she like talked about Zach Bryan, but she didn't share everything, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was like, when it came to Grace, she just,
right. And I feel like there's something to say about like the Zach Bryan's thing of like, you said that to help other people and it did help other people. Mm-hmm. And there was a reason behind saying that.
There was no
reason except for you wanted people to choose your side and not hers.
To try and basically combat like Grace going on her Instagram story and saying this, and now everyone's attacking you. And then she was like, well, now I'm going to say this piece. And it's just like, it comes off really bad. It came off really reactive. And like, yeah, it was just really awkward watching it, because you could tell it was almost like, she definitely regrets probably a lot of that she said.
Yeah.
But like, she was also like, what was I supposed to do? Everyone, when we talk about it. And I'm like, to your point, you don't have to tell everyone everything.
Well,
you
honestly,
keep it to yourself.
Grace has kept silent. She did one joke on a stand up, which I thought was really funny.
There's a different, it's,
you can joke about it. You can joke about it. That's funny. But like, as soon as you start like bringing out like things that you guys have, like, that has happened in your relationship, that gets weird. But I mean, I know Grace is going to talk about it. I feel like she's definitely
definitely included in her comedy for
but
sure.
But I don't see her dogging on Brie.
I don't. I mean, well, even they said Dave Portnoy was like, you know, we asked her to come on BFFs and everything. And rightfully so. Why would she want to do that? It doesn't even feel like
that's three against one at that point.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel like Josh Richards definitely is taking a massive backseat. Like, he hasn't really said much. And he even he said that he texted her and saying like, I wish you the best in like all your comedy career. And like, just know, basically like, we're still friends. Like, I hope you know that. And he hasn't really said a lot, at least that I can remember. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of like Dave and Brie. And like, yeah, it was just awkward. It's awkward. That's all I can say about it. It's
awkward because, you know, but also my thing is Brie definitely acts thinking that the public is going to side with her. That's I feel like that's what a lot of what she does. She does it for the audience, the TikTok audience's opinions. Yeah. And really almost trying approval. To like, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, she's just, you can tell she's trying to say things in a way that makes her look great.
Well, oh, there was one thing she did say that I was like, girl.
Oh,
she was like talking about, or Dave brought up like, oh, like Brie launched her like Boys Lie, you know, collab.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, and it sold out. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, congrats. That's right. Great. But you're saying it with like a.
With like a, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Like, it sold out. Like, haha, yeah. To everyone that's hating on me. That's how it came out. And I was like, girl.
Yeah, no, I she definitely has that attitude. And I feel like she tries to come off like, I don't care what people think. But I think she very much like is very calculated in trying to make herself look great. And that's why she's making Grace look horrible. Because people love Grace. That's just the truth. Mm-hmm. A lot of people love Grace. They are rooting for her. They see that she's kind of, you know, more mature and more like just trying to not very drama oriented, I feel like.
Yeah, she kind of, Grace definitely tries to stay out of it.
Right. So I feel like everybody's siding with Grace, and everything that Brie does is like trying to make herself look better, I think. I don't know.
Brie, I saw someone say like Brie needs to get a publicist. Yeah. Like, and she even said that. She was like, I don't need a publicist, like whatever. And I'm like,
I mean, you know what?
Just be quiet.
Maybe,
just,
but also she is staying relevant. So she is. Love or hate her, she is staying relevant. Whatever she's doing, it's working, I guess. And so it's like,
press is bad press.
All press is good press. No press is bad press.
I was like, wait.
No press is
bad press. No press is bad press, but all press is good press.
So, yeah, I'm excited to hear what Grace O'Malley has to say. And I honestly hope that she just comes out with a podcast that's just like lighthearted, funny, just kind of like how she is, just like talking in her and talking in her accent, just being funny, dude. I love it. I'm like ready for it. And I don't think she's going to come on there just to talk, you know?
No, she's definitely going to. I'm excited to hear what it is.
Me too. And I think comedians are actually pretty, like, you have to be smart to be a comedian. And I feel like she comes across as very like witty, you know?
Oh yeah.
So I'm excited to hear her new podcast. I'm wondering like what the branding's gonna be, and like,
I know.
We just like all went through this with See You Next Tuesday. So I'm hoping like we can see, like, I don't know, I'm just excited.
I'm
to
also
see that.
Curious like how fast did all that happen, because it had to have happened fast.
Well, I saw one video that was like her, Grace O'Malley's silence is a PR move, because I'm pretty sure Call Her Daddy probably called her the minute she found out about Barstool cutting her off, whatever, and was like, don't say a word, let's dish it out on here, because that would be pretty iconic.
Yeah.
Because it's like building up the anticipation, and like she hasn't said anything, and then as soon as she does
everyone's listening to that first episode.
So that could definitely be a PR move. Right.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens.
I know.
Okay, so I saw something today too that it was kind of sad, dude.
Oh,
it's kind of sad. Okay, so we've been going through Wicked, and we saw Wicked. We loved Wicked so much.
Wicked,
and all of these, what are they called? Movie premieres?
Oh, like press tours?
Press tours are happening for Wicked. There's all of these. I mean, God bless my feed.
You're talking about all the interviews and stuff?
Filled with the interviews, filled with the press tours, filled with the, oh my gosh, Ethan, Ariana, and everybody's like loving Ariana right now. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but I'm saying it just like, I see the point of view of.
Oh yeah, I know where this is going.
Right. Of Ethan Slater's ex-wife. Her name is Lily J.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a little, I guess she made a statement, and it's just honestly, oh my God, it breaks my heart, because I can't imagine what she went through with all of this. So she moved her and her three-month-old or two-month-old son to Europe for the Wicked filming, right?
Yep.
And so and then all of that went down while Wicked was being filmed, right? And oh my God, I can't even tell you guys, going through postpartum, it is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It is the most detrimental mentally thing that I've ever gone through. It is insane what your body does when you have a baby. And then on top of that, I just imagine having to see what is going on through media, like with your own eyes on screen, you know, all of these things. It's just, it's a lot for her to have to see that with a newborn. So I'm really feeling for her. Mm-hmm. But she came out with a statement, and this is what, this part broke my son, or broke my,
broke my your son.
My son is broken.
I hope Rome is okay.
So she kind of just was talking about all of the things that she was going through, and she was like, you know, our partnership changed, our parenthood hasn't, like they both fiercely love their son 100% of the time, regardless of how our parenting time is divided. And then one of the parts she said, days with my son are sunny, she said. Days when I can't escape the promotion of a movie associated with the saddest days of my life are darker. And I was just thinking about that and taking that in, because you know how much I've seen about Wicked and all of these things.
I literally cannot imagine. Oh, like, that's making me really sad now. Like, she probably can't even like look at the news.
No, seriously, it's all over. It's been all over. And I mean, it's just like, imagine something that bad that's happened in your life, and you just have to keep watching it
over and over. And it happened a while ago too. So she has not been able to escape this, and it's just rehashing it all over again. And now it's like being shoved in your face. And it's just like all the Ariana and Cynthia stuff too. It's like, you can't even not see her.
Yeah. And it's not that you don't, it's not that, you know, I would, if I were her, I wouldn't want to see Ariana, you know, be hated or like be, mm-hmm. but like Ariana's getting so much praise right now. I mean, because her acting was phenomenal. Her singing's phenomenal. She's an amazing artist, but just like having to see that as the ex-wife. Oh,
it's tough. Yeah. You don't want to see it. You want to be like, okay, can we stop?
You don't want to see it. You don't want to know about it. And for that to be one of the biggest stars right now in the world, ouch.
Yeah. It sucks. And it doesn't even have to do with like Ariana and Ethan together. It's literally just like the reminder of that this is the person.
Yeah.
That kind of
this is the person. And then you're having, you know, hearing all the things of like, I saw her come back to life during the Wicked filming. And then it's like, oh, that's when you got with my husband. And, you know, it's like, damn, it just, I don't know. I haven't seen a statement out from her. I'm not sure if she's talked about it before. Probably not. I'm sure she's trying to just move on and heal with her child. And but this was just something that I read, and I was like, my God, she's really talking from the heart, and she really is just like very
That's
hurt.
So sad.
Yeah.
Actually.
So
God, I can't even imagine that.
I know. So we are rooting for you, Miss Girl. We hope you are doing okay, and we hope that you are healing from all of this.
And we hope you have a Merry Christmas, you and your son.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. In other news, I can't even speak. In other news, which you can tell the tea.
Oh my gosh, this man, I love him. Timothy Chalamet. I mean, whoever is his publicist is doing work right now. I mean, if you're a man, if you are a woman, you are falling in love with him, because he comes right out the bat. Okay, he's on a promo tour, I'm assuming, for his movie A Complete Unknown, which is about Bob Dylan, and comes right out the gate for college football, and he's on, I think, ESPN, and he is just rattling off stats, and he's predicting like who's gonna win the games, and he ends up being right for a lot of it too, which just proves that like he is super into college football. And he also said that, you know, in a perfect world, he probably would be a sports newscaster.
What?
Which is hilarious. Like, it's like if acting doesn't work out, I'll just end up being a sports newscaster.
Wait, I never knew that about him.
He's so into football, I guess. College football, specifically, I'm assuming. But he, oh my God, it's just like, it's so funny. And I don't know. I guess he before this promo tour, I mean, he kind of was like more private a little bit. Like you didn't really see him, like his personality. And this promo tour, you are literally getting to see, he is just a cool, chill. He's a bro. Like he watches college football. He knows everything. And then he's going on Theo Von's podcast. And
that banter to me was hilarious.
I cannot tell you. I have not watched a full Theo Von podcast. This is one I would watch. It is so funny.
I saw a comment that was like, either Timothy Chalamet is a genius or he just has amazing social awareness, because the way that he takes everything and he can just come right back with it.
He is so witty.
It's so funny to me. And I'm like, yeah, you're kind of like, again, with the comedians, dude, they're kind of freaking witty. They're kind of smart.
Like Theo Von is just Theo Von. And I think honestly, he's just hilarious.
Yeah.
Like he's just a funny guy. But Timothy Chalamet, I would never put that duo together and think that that would be like, that would be hilarious. Just watching, listening, there was the one part in the podcast where he's talking about his sister, basically alluding that she lives in a cult in France.
I saw it.
And Theo Von is like, oh man, yeah, yeah. And then finally Timothy Chalamet just goes, nah, man, I'm just messing with you. Right. And I'm literally like, he is so unserious. It is so funny, and it's making me love him even more.
Oh, no, I'm falling in love with him. I fell in love with him with the Brittany Broski, that whole interview, because him, like, just jumping around her.
Right,
I'm like,
at the end? Yeah, yes. Literally, he's, like, dancing around her, and then he's like.
It just is, like, I love that, like, because you know when you see some, like, actors go into this career, and then it kind of ruins their personality, kind of ruins them a little bit, because you know
they become a brick wall, kind of,
right? And they don't show much online because they're
just PR'd out,
right? Yeah. So I think that him just literally having like no and just being himself, I just loved it. And it reminded, you know, the old videos of him like in middle school, of him doing like the like a dungeon dragon. Like he's still that person, and then that's so funny to me.
And all I have to say is Kylie Jenner, I get it, girl,
I get it. And he good for you.
Is so, I just want to hang out with him. I'm like, you just seem like such a fun person to like hang out, go out with. Like,
right. Actually, you know what? I just said good for you, Kylie Jenner, but I take that back. Good for him. Also, what a bad bitch. Like you just got a billionaire freaking hot.
I know, right?
Hot freaking person.
Like,
the King Kylie, excuse me?
Yeah.
You have that.
I mean, also, not a pair I would ever put together, but...
No, it's kind of hilarious because it's like... It's like what Brittany Broski said when she was like, I like Jack from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Stop that.
That is so
killed me. He literally... And I love that he was like, that's me. He literally looked at her and he starts pulling his jeans. He's like, see these legs?
I was said,
like,
we're worried about you.
He was like, I'm worried about me. But I'm like, oh my God. I love a self-aware guy.
I do too. And I love somebody who just can crack up and have a good time. One thing with his movie, which I thought was really interesting. I haven't seen much. I haven't seen much like with about the movie. I've seen it like the commercials and stuff, but I saw his singing for this. And
It's live.
I just looked it up, and it was like Timothy Chalamet in a complete unknown also sang live, and the director decided he was going to go live with the performance after hearing his voice. Yeah. And I was like, all I can hear is rah, rah, like a Jundan dragon. And so for him to be able to like personate and embody kind of Bob Dylan, that's cool. That's super cool.
He definitely embodied it.
He kind of
same. I also didn't see a lot about it besides like him on set of Dune. And he's practicing playing the guitar and like singing. And I'm just like, that's so, so interesting to be an actor and be like literally filming a movie like Dune. And then also being backstage, being like, okay, I got to play the guitar now and learn how to sing.
Dude, he's like booked and busy like all the time.
All the time.
I just saw what did people fan cast him in? They fan casted him as the live action Tangled for Flynn Rider.
Wait, is there going to be a live action?
Hell yeah, there's going to be a live action Sister. Like, let's think about
Sister.
Yeah, girl, that's like my favorite Disney movie. I love
that movie.
It's my all time favorite. I don't know what it is. It's probably the damn horse, because you know me, girl.
That horse.
You know me. It's probably the horse, but I love that movie so much, and I'm like trying to think of like fan casting who I would cast as these players. I don't know if I would see these characters who would play these characters. That's where I was going with that. Do you see how like my words really come out?
It kills me.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Glinda, where she's like, saying random ass words that are like completely
wrong. Yeah, they don't even
like fantastical or something like that.
I'm like, wait, that's not a word. But it works.
It makes sense.
It works.
You see where my mind's going?
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm trying to think of who I would cast. And people are saying like Sabrina Carpenter. And I don't think I see that.
I don't see that either. I think she's too, I mean, she is very Disney-esque.
I could definitely see her being Rapunzel, but I think every time there's a new movie coming out, I'm like, give me a new face.
Give me a new face.
Give me somebody new.
I guess it's scary because like you get someone new and they could be bad.
Right, but you could get somebody new and they could be it. Yeah.
Wait, there's a live action Moana too, right?
Coming out. Yeah, girl.
Is there someone who's
Lilo Stitch? Lilo and Stitch live action is coming. Yeah. The girl who plays Lilo and Stitch literally is so, so cute. I want to cry.
You know, the Lilo and Stitch ride at, is it Disney? I think it's in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Scared the crap out of me.
Good to know. I want to go back to Disney.
I want to go back so bad. I want to do Disney and I want to go to Universal.
Ooh, Universal was my jam.
There's just so much going. We have progressed so much as a society that I want to experience these things as an adult.
And in our technology.
And I'm just so mind blown. I am a child at heart. And man, do I want to experience it again. And
100%.
When I went to Universal, I was so young and I did... It was like a hurricane ride or a tsunami ride. I can't remember what it was exactly, but mm-hmm. it kind of scared me a little bit. And then we went from there and we went to the Twisters ride.
Mm-hmm.
I chickened out and my mom and I left the line my dad and I left the line. I can't remember, but I want to go and I want to go experience it so I could know what 8-year-old Shannon was too afraid to experience.
Well, you know what? I have only older sisters, as we all know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know that. If you don't,
Now
you know. Jeez. Anyway, I am the youngest, so I have to do everything that they want to do. And you know what they wanted to do when I was a young, developing girl?
What?
Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios. I'm scared they're going to like push me down kind of thing.
Do they have the sliders there?
I don't know, but dude, it is so scary. And so we asked one of the workers there or something like that. I don't know if it was like a scary guy or like a normal guy, but I was like, please help me. I need somewhere to go. And they were like, oh, the rule is like, if you're on the sidewalk, they can't mess with you. Like all the sidewalks.
Really?
Yes. So
really, that's good to know when I first walked in here.
So every time there would be somebody so scary, I would either start crying and then I would literally get so scared and shaky. My sisters are like, Shannon, sidewalk. And so I'd have to get on the sidewalk so that they won't come up to me. So now every time there's something that's going on, like say there's like anything, like I'm getting uncomfortable about anything, they're like, Shannon, sidewalk, or Shay, sidewalk. And so that's like, they won't let me live that down ever.
Hilarious. I mean, I'm also the youngest, so
yeah,
same thing. I was always doing things too young. Also, I was literally like 5'9" as a 6-year-old, basically, so I could get on all the rides. I probably
shouldn't be getting on.
Mm-hmm. And I remember a similar kind of story-ish, but when we were at Universal Studios, I was really young. I can't remember. I was probably like 6 to 8 years old or something like that.
Damn.
And I was tall. I was tall enough to ride all the roller coasters, everything. And I remember my mom, she went to go like put something in our locker. You know, you can like rent a locker or whatever.
Right.
And she was like, I'll be right back. She was like, Tom, you are going to be okay with Chris, Alex, and Shannon. My dad was like, yeah, I'll take them on a ride or something. Mom goes, okay, I'll be right back. Just stay in this area. So my dad, listened to my oldest brother, Chris, and he was like, oh, we got to go on this ride. It was The Mummy.
Oh, no.
And I love scary, like.
Maybe this like, is why. Maybe this is deep rooted to deep, the Universal
oh,
trip.
Oh, yeah. There's a deep rooted thing to this. I loved like, you know, Tower of Terror, like that kind of thing. Like scary things, but like they're not like actually scary. They're all like digital and like,
yeah, it's more animatronic. Like thriller.
Yeah. And I'm like, it can't touch me. So my dad was like, okay, like Shannon can do Mummy. Like he was like, oh, is it like, you know, a ride where they like go around kind of like the haunted house at mm-hmm. Disney or something. And Chris was like, yeah, it'll be so, it's easy. You get in a cart and you ride around. And, you know, Chris and Alex were like, yeah, let's go. So we're in line. And we're in line and like you can tell like you're in the Mummy line and my dad's kind of looking around and I keep going, I'm like, is this just like a slow ride? Like, I was terrified of roller coasters. And I was like, is this a slow ride? My dad's like, yeah, I'll be fine. We get in the little cart. And my dad said to this day, he goes, I knew something was wrong right when that
locked in. It's like, and he's like, oh, shit.
My dad was like, oh, okay. All right. Now, was my brother right in the sense where it was just a, you know, you were in a cart?
Slow ride.
Oh, it was a roller coaster. You just didn't spin. And it literally, I still to this day have a vivid memory of being in this thing and it just shoots out and you like go right into this like screen basically and it fills with cockroaches.
Ew.
And then it like clears and then it pulls you back really fast and I am screaming bloody murder and I'm just crying and my dad felt so bad. We get off the ride and I'm sobbing and my mom is like, Tom, what did you do? My dad's like, I didn't know it was a roller coaster.
Tom's fault.
He's over here like, Chris, his 13-year-old son told him it
was. Of course he did. Of course he was like, oh, it's fine, Shannon. Shannon will be fine.
It kills me. There's a picture. I will have to find it. But there's a picture of me after this. We're in the gift shop. Because, you know, like you get off the ride.
It's like you have puffy eyes.
Like my eyes are red. I'm wearing like a Cleopatra like beaded wig. And I'm like this. I'm just smiling. And I was like clearly sobbing. And my brothers are next to me with like Egyptian hats and stuff. And I'm just like.
I just was traumatized.
I did not ride a roller coaster until I was probably 14 or 15 year old.
Oh, man. Yeah. I definitely was no to scaries when I was that age, which like it's too young. Like we're being put through too much at a young age, which we're exposed to. It's not okay.
You think it's real.
Right.
I think it's real.
Right.
Anyways, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys. Let's move on to lighter topics.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a intimacy director?
Negative.
Okay. Me either. but it makes sense the more I learned about it. Okay, so this came to light for me when I saw a interview with Pamela Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And hang on, let me see your name. I think it's Mikey Madison, who plays Anora in a new movie called Anora. And this is about a stripper.
Is Pamela Anderson in this movie too?
No, Pamela Anderson's just conducting the interview.
Oh, okay.
Right, so she's asking Mikey Madison questions about the film. So this is about a stripper who accepts thousands of dollars to be exclusive with her rich Russian client. Anyways, that's the premise. Wow. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm very, very excited to. So this in the interview, Pamela was like, so what did you guys do she called it a sex coordinator. Mm. Did you guys use a sex coordinator? That's the big thing these days. And you could tell because Pamela, you know, back in the day, you know, there was definitely not a coordinator
not those times.
So she was like, I know that's the big thing these days, which I thought was funny because she was like,
I didn't have one.
I didn't have that. And then Mikey Madison was like, what did she say? It was a choice that I made and there was no intimacy coordinator on set. And Mikey Madison said that was a choice that she made. And people are really giving them heat, the director specifically, heat for even having the choice of not having one, because apparently a sex coordinator protects the actresses, makes them comfortable. They do a ton of stuff. Like they make sure right when they're done with the thing, they come in with the robe, they bring them off, they make sure they're good. Like it's very, like people say that sex coordinators should be, I'm going to say intimacy directors.
Better.
Intimacy directors should be mandatory because they really keep these young actresses and actors safe in this process of making these scenes. So I thought it was crazy because everybody's firing on them. And I didn't even know what it was at first. And then I looked it up.
I think it's kind of like the same as like, you know, that they say that, you know, when they have sex scenes and stuff, like, you know, they have like things covering them up. So it's like, because when you really think about it, like, it's kind of weird. And then it's doubling down, kind of weird that there's no one, an intimacy coordinator conducting it all, and it's just like free will. That kind of feels weird.
You look at it and you're like, Mikey Madison's a 25-year-old girl. She does, like, and I can tell this girl really, really, really wants this to be, like, she really put her heart and soul into this movie.
Yeah.
And she trusts the director. But sometimes directors can, and I'm not saying this director is, but sometimes directors can be sleazy and they can do weird things to get a scene how they want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did she say that she didn't want an intimacy coordinator because of the actual role?
Well, people were saying, because I guess that the director asked her if she wanted one or not.
Yeah.
And people were saying that's icky. That should be a mandatory thing.
It should be like an HR thing.
So what I thought was weird is that it was with Mikey Madison, the actress, mm-hmm. the actor, I'm not sure his name, mm-hmm. and then the director and his wife, which is, she's on, I guess, production, something like that. And it was just them four in this whole thing. And that just to me.
Wait, during like the intimate scenes?
That's it. That's all that was there. And that to me was like, that just makes me feel icky a little bit, you know? And I'm not saying that anything happened. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like, it just feels like.
It sounds weird from an outsider perspective.
It sounds weird from an outside perspective. And also like, if I were that girl, I would want somebody who's on my side.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no one there.
Yes.
For her.
So I looked up a little bit more about intimacy directors, and somebody who is a certified intimacy director came on here because this whole discussion came to light and everybody's figuring out that this is even a thing.
Yeah.
So this somebody came onto Reddit and was talking about their role, and they said, my role as an intimacy. Oh my God. That's
it's hard to say.
My role as an intimacy coordinator is to serve the actor, to help make sure they understand the direction that safe and trauma informed practices are in place and that there's a professional approach to it. So there are definitely things of like, you know, let's see, nudity is involved. So they want to make sure that they have the right cover ups on every corner and making sure that they feel safe pretty much. And like a lot of people were comparing this to a stunt coordinator. Like you would never have somebody do a stunt without a coordinator there.
Yeah.
They're there to keep them safe. They're there to keep anything from happening. It's the same thing like that. But I thought it was crazy, and everybody's giving them backlash for this because it might start a movement to make it mandatory, because it feels like, you know,
it feels like it should be mandatory.
For sure.
Well, just like I just said earlier, is like kind of feels like the HR department.
Right.
A little bit like,
right.
Hey, we're about to cross some lines here. Let's keep it professional.
And like,
as possible.
And I would want, you know, you can't really, sometimes people are so pushy, especially in this film industry. You know, you want to be able to be like, you want to have somebody, and you're a young girl, and you're like there and like having to be extremely vulnerable. Like you want somebody who's on your side that's going to be like, no, we're going to take a break, get a robe, let's figure this out.
Look, I know myself too. And like, as much as we want to make jokes and be like, oh my God, I'm so old, I'm getting old. 27, 30, 35, doing that kind of stuff. Like, you're still kind of young.
Yeah.
I'd say 35, I hope that when I'm 35, I can stand up for myself. But if you're like a new actress entering this scene, mm-hmm. and you might not think, like you might just be doing things because you're like, I have to do this, I have to do this, when you really don't, mm-hmm. and there's no one there to say like, hey, is this okay? Mm-hmm. Do you want to do it? Versus like you have the director being like, no, do it. This is great. And you're like, okay, well, I have to do it. Like,
well, here's my thing is like, I know that you got, like, I know that actresses and actors work hard to like make this mm-hmm. perfect. And they want to, you know, do things that challenge themselves and challenge the scene and make it different. But at the same time, like, I don't see why a intimacy coordinator would not be there, because they're not taking away from the actress acting. They're just making sure you're good.
Yeah, they're making sure you're like, hey, you good with all of this? Is everything, you're still...
Right, like, I don't see
them... You're protected.
They're not trying to direct. They're not trying to be like, no, too much. Like, they're just there to make sure you're safe. And I feel like there's no point in not having that around.
Yeah, because it's like... Yeah, it's just, but that's why I question is like she choosing not to have an intimacy coordinator, because like the movie is about a sex worker and all of that. Where
she
said she
wanted it to be very small and intimate. She didn't give any more than that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm speculating here.
And then I saw
because of the role is a sex worker that she's like, well, I want it to be as like almost real.
Yeah,
I
saw something. I think it was Imrata who commented on the TikTok that I saw that got me in thinking about all of this. And she said something like, you can tell on Pamela Anderson's face. She was just like, kind of like, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know?
Well, Pamela Anderson has probably been through.
Right. But you could tell there was thoughts going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into that. Maybe she is too, mm-hmm. but. It's just interesting. I first of all didn't even know that that was a thing. I feel like I'm learning more about the film industry.
I didn't know there was an intimacy coordinator right. per se. Right. But I knew that there was like, you know, like I've seen stuff people talking about how like, oh, we had a sex scene. And it was like, oh, but like, you know, we have these things that cover us up. So like, mm-hmm. you know, nothing's touching. But I never really thought about there being someone having a job being like just standing there being like, oh, everything, which it just makes more and more sense the more we're talking about it. It's like, why wouldn't there be someone there mm-hmm. not directing, making sure that everyone's on the same page at all times.
Right. So they're there to make sure they have a safe, which is, I was reading, they have a safe word to make sure that they're good. And if mm-hmm. the word
flamingo.
Right. And then they have like making sure if nudity is involved that the coordinator is responsible to provide protective undergarments mm-hmm. and spend time with the designers to make sure that there are safety measures in all of the designs. Like they are like in this whole process, which I just think this whole thing is very interesting and just kind of like made me think about it. Don't you like see some scenes and you're like, I wonder like if that's like comfortable.
I think about it sometimes. I'm like, when the scene goes on too long, I start to think like they're not actually having sex.
Right.
And no, I'm like, literally. Huh. And then I start to think, I'm like, how are they doing this?
But also I'm like, oh, that's a stranger. Like they don't know this person. They're just acting. They're just doing their job with this person. And I'm like, that's like a pretty.
You know what makes me think of is the new movie with Nicole Kidman, Baby Girl, I think it's called.
Okay.
It's about Nicole Kidman is like a very powerful woman in charge. I want to say she's like a CEO vibe and this younger guy, I don't know what he is, but I think he works for her or under her. And basically it's saying that like women in charge, you know, in a relationship want to be like not in charge. They want someone else to take the lead. And that's kind of the whole Baby Girl.
Right.
I guess in a way. But it's reminding me of that because it's obviously like a 50 Shades
right
type movie,
the whole dominance and then yeah. the sub.
So it's like it's very much that. So I'm like, there's got to be an intimacy coordinator on that.
That's
set.
What I'm saying. Like, I just want to know like the age difference between that because I did see that and
Nicole
I'm just
Kidman
like,
and that kid.
Yes,
and that kid. That guy, the man. He's a man. He's got to be like in his mid to late 20s.
Yeah,
maybe 30. But he's pretty young.
Okay, so Nicole Kidman is 57 years old. And then Harris Dickinson is who's the other
actor.
Thank you,
I can't remember him.
Harris Dickinson is 28 years old.
I knew it. Wow, I was so on the money with that one.
That's like 30 years, 30-year difference.
There's got to be an intimacy coordinator on that set.
Right. I mean, definitely. Because like you...
The whole movie is about that. So it's like...
Yeah. I wonder if they had that because I think this whole thing started like intimacy coordinators started becoming a thing around 2010. And I'm wondering if they had that in that's 50 Shades.
I just read my mind. I said, that's crazy. 2010.
2015. I'm okay. Sure there. I mean, this whole movie is just about sex. So
what, Baby
I'm
Girl or 50
no,
Shades?
50 Shades. Oh, so yeah. I'm sure they had to have it.
I think Baby Girl is literally just 50 Shades just reversed.
Reversed, only with a kind of a different weird
and an age
story.
Gap. Well, yeah. I'll be honest, these movies with the older woman, younger guy are hitting. Anne Hathaway and
that was good.
It was a good movie. I'm going to rewatch it actually.
Right.
Because it really, my childhood wishing that pop star is singing a song to you.
Oh, like honestly, and it's
what
so
is the
real.
Name of that movie?
I forgot too. Oh my God. But it makes me also think that they're going to do a movie with like Kristen Cavallari and like that one guy.
Oh my God, the
TikTok?
Montana boy guy.
Yeah.
This soon, it'll be like in the future, it'll be like, oh, TikTok guy.
TikTok guy.
Picks her.
She picks him.
She picks him.
That
he
whole thing
her.
Honestly
crazy.
Cracked me up. I thought it was like a, I thought it was a
bit.
A bit.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I was like, that's was her like,
she's
being in the TikToks. For me, I was like, ah, that makes me cringe.
It does.
Yeah. So we will be seeing you guys. When is even New Year's?
I was just about to say, let's
look at
the
date,
cow. Let
girl.
Me pull the cow. Oh, look what I have on my phone. That's what I was waiting for.
That's like the background noise in my head.
Literally constantly. Okay, so so we won't have an episode coming out on New Year's Eve.
Right.
So the next time we'll have an episode is January 7th.
Oh my God.
If I'm doing that correctly.
Okay, so you guys, we're going to see you not next Tuesday, but next year.
Next year, we're going to be those people. See you
2025. Okay, wait, I do want to ask, since we aren't going to see you in this until next year, do you have any resolutions?
So this is my least favorite question.
That's okay, because you can make it nothing and you can make it something if you want.
I'm going to make it nothing right now because,
okay,
like I said earlier, I just hate putting so much pressure on myself.
Pressure on you. That, and you know what? Here's your
goal.
And
maybe that's my resolution.
Don't put so much pressure on yourself.
Exactly.
I love that.
I love it.
I love that.
You know what? I love that I made my nothing into something.
It is something. Because that's so true and that's so fair.
It is. I feel like I do put a lot of pressure on myself a lot of the time. So yeah. You know what? Maybe that is my goal.
I love that for you. And you do. And you deserve to give yourself a break, girlfriend, because you do so much for everybody else. And you do so much for me.
Ugh.
And you deserve to have no pressure on you at all.
Well, thanks.
I'm gonna have your back.
Thanks.
I feel like my New Year's resolution is definitely gonna be, I have a few with like different aspects of my life. Mm-hmm, so like mm-hmm. with my social media career, I wanna start getting more vulnerable.
She's in the French now.
She's a little vulnerable.
A croissant.
That like came from the depths of my body. I want to be more vulnerable on social media. I definitely want to I think vulnerability to me means that I'm being more confident in myself, more mm-hmm. sure of myself. So I feel like that's the overall message. I want to be more confident, not second guess, and kind of get to know myself a little bit better with this whole like therapy process I'm going through. So I'm excited about that.
Wow.
I know, I'm a big girl.
She's a big girl.
So you know what, you guys? We'll be seeing you next year. Don't forget, I'm going to let you do it. I'm never gonna do it right. So you take.
You did it great last week.
I know, but it makes me nervous in every.
But I'll take over.
take over.
Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and of course, our DMs are open as always. So DM us
always, and iconically, we'll see you next Tuesday.